You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Monday, May 8, 2023. Gotta Get Over, Part 5. The Race to Debottleneck Louisiana Feed Gas Routes, Pre-FID Projects. Published by Sheetal Nasta. New U.S. LNG export projects battling rising labor and equipment costs and/or financing woes have one more thing to worry about that the first wave of projects didn't: ensuring the feed gas supply will be there when they need it. Bottlenecks have already developed for moving natural gas volumes to the Louisiana coast, where the bulk of future export capacity will be sited. As more liquefaction capacity is built out and more export projects are greenlighted, a lot more pipeline capacity will be needed to move feed gas supply from the Haynesville and other supply basins into southern Louisiana and across the last mile to the terminals. In today's RBN blog, we conclude our roundup of pipeline expansions in the Bayou State that would help ease transportation constraints and balance the market, this time with a look at announced but yet to be sanctioned greenfield pipeline expansions, along with an update on their associated export projects. As we said in Part 1, there are nearly 30 LNG export projects we track in our LNG Voyager report that are jockeying for a piece of the global gas market. Of those, 5 are under construction or greenlighted for the northwestern corner of the Gulf Coast from the Beaumont/Port Arthur, Texas, area to the Mississippi River. There are more that have their regulatory approvals and are inching closer to securing the necessary financing and/or offtake commitments and are likely to take financial investment decisions, or FIDs, in the next year, as well as others that are at various stages of regulatory approvals and financing offtake agreements but still may get done. The expected onslaught of gas demand from these projects, particularly along the Louisiana coast and the increasingly constrained pipeline system in the region, has raised concerns about worsening supply-demand imbalances as new liquefaction capacity comes online. That, in turn, has driven a slew of pipeline project announcements from LNG developers and pipeline companies to ensure the supply will be there when and where it's needed. To understand how the second wave of LNG export projects will shape the Louisiana gas market in the coming years, we've been delving into the recently completed and future pipeline expansions targeting export demand. In Part 1 of this series, we highlighted recently completed pipeline expansions, including Louisiana Express and Alberta Express on TC Energy's Columbia Gas Transmission, or TCO and ANR pipeline systems, Kinder Morgan's Acadiana expansion of its Louisiana system, and Energy Transfer's Gulf Run Transmission. In Part 2, we turn to recently sanctioned pipeline expansions targeting export demand in southwestern Louisiana, including projects that will debottleneck north-to-south pipeline capacity within the state, most of which would bring incremental supply to the Gillis, Louisiana area. In Part 3 and Part 4, we turned our attention to projects that are moving forward for increasing feed gas supplies in southeastern Louisiana, including for the first LNG export facility to take FID in that area, Venture Global's, or VG, Plaquemines LNG. That brings us to today's focus, the final category of feed gas-related pipeline projects, ones that were announced but have yet to be sanctioned, primarily pending FIDs for the related export projects themselves. There are 4 such pipeline expansions in various stages of development that fall into this last category: VGCP Express Pipeline, which would serve its CP2 LNG terminal, VG's Delta Express Pipeline for its Delta LNG facility, and 2 others that are related to Tellurian's Driftwood LNG, Driftwood LNG Pipeline, or DWPL, and the Line 200 and 300 project. Given that these expansions are directly tied to the export facilities, they are subject to the LNG developers achieving FID for the respective terminals. Next, we'll discuss each of these pipeline projects, providing an update on the status of the respective export facilities along the way. We'll start with the CP Express Pipeline Project, the main feeder pipeline for CP2 LNG, the 20 million tons per annum, or about 2.6 BCF per day, facility VG is developing near its operational but yet to be commercialized Calcasieu Pass LNG facility in Cameron Parish, Louisiana. CP2 is one of 3 projects being developed by VG, the other 2 being the fully subscribed 20 million tons per annum, 2.6 BCF per day, Plaquemines LNG, and the 10 million tons per annum, or 1.3 BCF per day, Delta LNG in southeastern Louisiana. In late April, the developer said it had achieved long-term sales and purchase agreements, or SPAs, for about a third of CP2's nameplate capacity and expected to begin construction later this year. On the regulatory side, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, had suspended CP2's environmental review last July but eventually issued the draft Environmental Impact Statement, or DEIS, at the end of January, which will put its final FERC authorization in October 2023, about 6 months after its original target, assuming no further delays. VG previously said it was targeting FID in mid-2023, but that will be delayed, given FERC's timeline. VG proposed to build the facility in two phases, with 10 million tons per annum of capacity slated for each phase. It's likely that VG would split FID into phases as well, with Phase 1 construction getting underway once all regulatory approvals and offtake contracts are in place for the first 10 million tons per annum. VG has said construction for each phase will take 3 years. Phase 2 FID will depend on market need, but assuming it crosses the contracting threshold, construction would start 12 months after the start of Phase 1 construction and would also take 3 years. Heading back to the feeder pipeline for the export project, VG proposes to build CP Express, including an 85-mile, 48-inch diameter greenfield mainline, a new 5.9-mile, 24-inch diameter lateral, and a new compressor station east of Vinton, Louisiana. The mainline system would originate in Jasper County in East Texas and run east through Newton County, Texas, across the Texas-Louisiana border into Calcasieu Parish, Louisiana, before turning southeast and terminating at the facility in Cameron Parish. VG expects to build CP Express in two phases to align with the commissioning of Phase 1 and 2 of the facility build-out. Each pipeline phase would provide up to 2.2 BCF per day of capacity to the terminal. As for how VG expects to supply CP Express, the FERC application stated that the main line would include a number of direct interconnects that would provide access to supply, namely Transco and Midcoast CJ Express at the origination point in Jasper County, Texas Eastern Transmission, or TETCO and Gulf South Pipeline in Newton County, and Florida Gas Transmission, or FGT, and Tennessee Gas Pipeline, or TGP, in Calcasieu Parish. The new lateral would also connect the CP Express mainline to Energy Transfer's Gulf Run Transmission, the recently completed Haynesville Takeaway Pipeline we discussed in Part 1 of this series and in previous blogs. Additionally, as we mentioned in Go All the Way, there's the possibility that CP Express, and by extension CP2 LNG, and potentially other facilities in the Beaumont-Port Arthur area, also could gain access to incremental Eagleford and Permian supplies via Whitewater Midstream's Blackfin Pipeline. We don't know the exact receipt and delivery interconnects for Blackfin yet, but the proposed route for Blackfin originates in Colorado County, Texas, where Whitewater's Permian Highway Pipeline, or PHP, terminates, and extends northeast to Jasper County, where CP Express would begin. As we noted earlier, VG also is developing the Delta Express Pipeline, the feeder system for deliveries to its third announced export project in Louisiana, the 20 million tons per annum, or 2.6 BCF per day, Delta LNG terminal to be sited on the Mississippi River in Plaquemines Parish, not far from the developer's Plaquemines LNG, which took FID earlier this year. VG initiated the pre-filing process for Delta LNG and Delta Express in April 2019 and the project is in the federal and state environmental review process. However, the developer has not sold any offtake capacity for this project yet and it appears to be focusing its efforts on CP2, now that Plaquemines is fully subscribed. Delta Express would originate in Richland Parish near Alto, Louisiana, southeast of the Perryville Hub, and extend south to Pointe-Coupee Parish. From there, it would turn southeast and terminate at the export facility. A number of existing pipelines interconnected Alto, including the east-west zone of Energy Transfer's Enable and Gulf Run systems, Gulf South Pipeline and Trunkline. Tellurian over the years has proposed a number of different pipelines along with, or in addition to, the Driftwood LNG terminal, many of which were abandoned during the COVID-related global markets crash. The export project itself has endured its own twists and turns since its inception. The project has all of its regulatory approvals but either lost or canceled all but one of its SPA deals last year, and the last remaining SPA with Genvor expired at the end of February. Neither party has publicly commented on the status of the deal, but last fall Tellurian said it was pivoting away from the SPA model toward pursuing equity partners to finance the project. In the meantime, the company has begun initial construction activity for the first phase of Driftwood, or 11 million tons per annum, or 1.4 BCF per day, of the total 27 million tons per annum, or about 3.5 BCF per day, of liquefaction capacity planned for the facility. Tellurian issued EPC contractor Bechtel a limited notice to proceed, or LNTP, last spring, which was recently extended after the developer signed a $1 billion deal with an unnamed institutional investor to sell the acreage for Driftwood LNG and lease it back for a 40-year term. Among the requirements of the deal, however, is that Tellurian must secure equity partners as guarantors for the lease by July 14, without which the investor would have the option to back out of the deal. Tellurian currently has two pipeline projects listed on its website. The first, Driftwood Pipeline, is a 96-mile, 4 BCF per day system that was proposed with the LNG terminal and has all of its FERC approvals in hand. The pipeline, which will begin at an interconnect with Columbia Gulf Pipeline just south of Ville Platte, Louisiana, would run southwest of the terminal and has the potential to interconnect with as many as 14 other pipelines along the way. The second Driftwood LNG-related pipeline project is the Line 200 and 300 project, which received its FERC certificate on April 21. RBN prepared an independent analysis of need for the project, which Driftwood submitted to FERC in September 2021 for consideration as part of its review. The dual lines would run for 37 miles directly from pipelines connected to Haynesville production to move gas into the Lake Charles area, with potential deliveries to Tellurian's LNG terminal and other locations. According to FERC filings, Phase 1 would include the entirety of Line 200 with a capacity of 2.4 BCF per day, along with a limited section of Line 300 for a total Phase 1 capacity of 3.1 BCF per day. The remainder of Line 300 would follow in Phase 2, increasing capacity by 1.3 BCF per day to 4.4 BCF per day. A final phase would increase compression and bring the total project capacity to 5.4 BCF per day, with maximum seasonal capacity at 5.7 BCF per day. When Line 200 and 300 was announced, it was positioned as being in addition to the original Driftwood pipeline and more for general debottlenecking between northern and southern Louisiana. The company could pivot and build just one of the proposed projects, but given the expected build-out of LNG in the Gulf Coast and the already constrained pipeline system, there is potentially appetite for both. Line 200 and 300 would use much of the same right-of-way as the originally proposed Driftwood pipeline but run a shorter distance and feature a phased-in approach for construction. Line 200 begins with an interconnect with Texas Eastern, or TETCO, and Acadian Gas Systems Gillis Lateral, and both Line 200 and Line 300 have the potential to interconnect with many other existing pipelines as well. The pipeline terminates at Driftwood LNG but has access to the existing Louisiana LNG terminals as well as other proposed projects in the area. Either path could provide adequate feed gas for the terminal on its own, but building both might make sense in the long term given the wider LNG build-out picture for the region. Between the VG and Tellurian projects, these expansions have yet to take FID, but if they materialize, they will come with a significant pull of gas volumes in southern Louisiana that, along with the more advanced stage projects we discussed in this series, will reshape the Gulf Coast LNG export market. As bottlenecks worsen and feed gas supply struggles to keep up with the next wave of export capacity additions, these pipeline expansions will be key to balancing the gas market. Gotta Get Over was written by Doyle Bramhall II, Justin Stanley, and Nika Costa. It appears as the fourth song on Eric Clapton's 19th studio album, Old Sock. It was released as a digital download and CD single in February 2013. The song features Chaka Khan on backing vocals. It has a groove that harkens back to Clapton's Derek and the Dominoes days and features some wah-wah guitar fills that would have fit in with his days in Cream. Personnel on the record were Eric Clapton on lead vocal and guitars, Doyle Bramhall II on guitars and backing vocals, Greg Leese on steel guitar, Tim Carman on Hammond B3 organ, Chris Staten on clavinet, and Fender Rhodes electric piano, Willie Weeks on bass, Steve Gadd on drums, and Sharon White, Michelle John, Julie Clapton on backing vocals. Old Sock became the name of the album after Clapton sent David Bowie a compliment on his single, Where Are We Now? Bowie replied back appreciatively, referring to Clapton as Old Sock, whereupon Clapton asked permission to use the term for the album title. The LP features several blues covers and two original songs, with several guest artists sitting in, including Taj Mahal, Steve Winwood, Paul McCartney, and J.J. Cale. It was Cale's last recorded contribution before his death in July 2013. The album was recorded between 2012 and 2013 and produced by Eric Clapton, Doyle Bramhall II, Justin Stanley, and Simon Climie. Released in March 2013, it went to number 7 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart. Two singles were released from the LP. Eric Clapton is an English guitarist, singer, and songwriter. He is always ranked in the top 10 on any list of the greatest guitarists of all time. His interpretive playing of Freddie King's guitar stylings on the John Mayall and the Blues Breakers Beano album in 1966 influenced generations of rock and blues guitarists. His professional career started with the Yardbirds, then John Mayall, Cream, Blind Faith, and Derek and the Dominoes, before starting his long solo career in 1970. As a solo artist, he has released 21 studio albums, 15 live albums, 21 compilation albums, 7 soundtrack albums, 6 collaborative albums, and 81 singles. He has sold more than 280 million records worldwide. He has won 18 Grammy Awards, 1 Brit Award, 4 Ivor Novello Awards, and was awarded a CME. He is the only 3-time inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, once as a solo artist, and then as a member of the Yardbirds and Cream. In 1988, Clapton founded the Crossroads Center in Antigua, a medical facility for recovering substance abusers. He has produced several large Crossroads festivals over the years, with earnings going to help fund the center. Clapton continues to record and tour.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.